for curb appeal that lasts, shop Labor Day Extra Big Deals at Lowe's. For a limited time, get 50% off all Holland pavers. Plus, save $110 on the Ego Power Plus 56-volt, 2.5-amp-hour blower trimmer combo kit. Now just $249. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's. In-store and online. Valid through 9/7. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Holland pavers offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The jury is deliberating as of right now, as of our recording of this. But outside the Plymouth courtroom, the Lindsay Clancy case has become something bigger than a verdict, a conspiracy factory, a cultural flashpoint, and a set of questions about what happens next that nobody in the courtroom can actually answer. Your thoughts in the comments as we roll through this. Online, thousands of people are accusing Patrick Clancy of murdering his children. Yeah, I was not expecting this one when we began covering this case. There's content creators building audiences on the theory. This is despite surveillance footage placing him outside the home, Lindsay's own admission that she did it, the whole defense, everything. I mean, it's based on fantasy, but it's big and it's out there. Joining us to discuss the conspiracy world and where this all goes after this, Bob Mata, defense attorney. He's been in the courtroom every single day, host of Defense Diaries. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent. Just for the record for everybody, you watched him testify. Is there anything that supports anything these people are saying?
No.
The
woman told everybody that she spoke to that she did it. I don't know, this concept that somehow Pat Clancy came up with some pharmaceutical amnesia cocktail for her that she doesn't remember, and then he fed her the story thinking she was going to be dead. It's fucking ridiculous.
He'd be like Batman too. Like, I mean, the way he'd have to like kind of like cannot like make this all work and like sneak into
Alfred.
Situations. It's like it'd be insane. It's insane.
There's not Alfred one behavior
did all
with
the heavy
with,
lifting for Batman. Yeah, Alfred was in the background inventing all the shit. Pat Clancy doesn't have Alfred.
And also his behavior, I mean, from the 911 call, which is completely incongruent with someone even contemplating the idea of being the perpetrator. That's one thing. His testimony on her behalf is incongruent with the fact that he would have done it. Her behavior just completely collapsing doesn't have any shred of doubt in her own head that she did it, because that you know, what you're seeing her doing when she's completely collapsing in the courtroom every time it's brought up is her collapsing and devastated because she's very aware that she did it, you know. So it all these, and that's just the facts of what we see before our eyes, let alone all the evidence. But these same people, I'd be very curious. We should take a poll if they think we never landed on the moon and the earth is fucking flat.
Guaranteed.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of triggering characters out there for a lot of people. A lot of them you can identify and go, oh, this is kind of a triggering type character. I didn't see Patrick Clancy being one, honestly.
You know what? It's like...
it's like boring. It's kind of like...
Here's what I've come up with in terms of trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with these people. And I'm talking about the Clancy, Patrick Clancy guilters. They're trying to rationalize a completely irrational concept for all of us, which is that a mother would do this to her own children.
Yeah.
It is way, way easier for people to come to the conclusion that it's the husband. It's that fucking guy. The dad, look, he's got a new wife. You know, like he's married. She's either pregnant or they have a kid, whatever the case may be. You know, they start digging into it. It's way easier to have the Scott Petersons of the world, the Chris Watts of the world, because it's easier to wrap your mind around that concept than it is to think in any world that a mother would do this to her children.
Especially when you see her in the courtroom and you see when you see her and witness her and you hear all the testimony between friends, family, coworkers of what a perfect human being and mother she was until this horrendous day, and you want to have a monster and you don't want to accept the fact that mental illness could have been at the core of this, you have to blame a monster someplace. So they found one.
I mean, it's almost like Mad Libs.
Invented one.
Like we didn't have these, because in so many cases we cover, all of those elements exist. There's the motive. There's the lover on the outside. There's the bullshit here. There's this over here. This didn't have any of that. So what happened is the audience filled in those blanks with villains and concepts and constructs that don't even exist.
We are story makers as a species.
That's interesting. I mean, I can't think of another case where, like, can you, Bob, recently, where it gets this, like, just completely inventive material, like, other story? I mean, is this new? Is this part of social media and the way we communicate? Is this going to be just kind of how it goes going forward on so many cases where when reality is too hard to bear, we just really kind of go down other roads?
Where you can't rationalize the irrational? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. You know, I mean, the reality is the internet gives people to do a lot of digging. And if they lock in on a concept, you know, I mean, they're going to dig and they're going to dig and dig and dig and dig until they find something. And then, you know, I mean, I'm going to blow your mind here a little bit and probably have people like losing their shit on me. But the Christopher Vaughn case, which was an Illinois family annihilation case that took place at this point like 20 years ago. It was around the same time that Drew Peterson, the cop killer who had killed his wife, and then his young wife went missing. They never found her. So those two trials are going on at the same time. Christopher Vaughn was married, three kids are on their way down to a water park in St. Louis. Ends up that all three kids are executed in the back of the car. The wife, Kim, has a gunshot from underneath, like your typical kind of suicide, you know,
maneuver in terms of using a handgun, and Chris was shot twice. So the prosecution's like, nah, you did it. It was you. It was you. You obviously just staged this whole thing. First, you got the gun under her head. You know, you shot her. You shot yourself. And then you executed your children. And they convicted him on it. And, you know, in that case, it was the same kind of shit. He had like, their marriage was on the rocks, at least somewhat. You know, he wasn't having an affair, but he had been going to a strip club. You know, like, he had spent, like, thousands of dollars in a strip club. Turns out, and it wasn't really argued, that before this drug called Topamax had its black box warning, FDA warning on it, Kim was taking it. And there were these profound changes in her personality from taking the medication. And she was like, I think they had given it to her as an antidepressant. And ultimately, she ends up, you know, as just the victim in this thing. And there's been a push in that case. And we think that it's going to kind of revive the conversation in that case. Was it Kimberly who had actually done it? And that Chris wasn't lying, because he always denied. He's like, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It's like, what, you know what I'm saying? So it's
And he had two gunshot, self-inflicted gunshot wounds?
Yeah. Well, that's what they're claiming. They're claiming he shot himself through the hand, and then one went into his thigh. So
yeah, that's a low probability.
Yeah. So I mean, like, it's like, I don't know. It's a crazy case, but There's a lot of striking similarities to this case, especially because right after that case took place, the black box warning for homicidal and suicidal ideations was put on that particular script. Yeah. So, I just think it's one of those things where, you know, and the reality of these types of cases is that most of the times when mothers do this to their babies or their children, they end up successfully killing themselves, which in turn means that there is no criminal case.
Right. Never. That's true. That's why we never get this far on so many of these, is because, that's true. That's where you would probably end up in the same sort of place.
And this mental health issue keeps evolving. I was doing the research before we started, and Bob, you being the lawyer, knowing this much more intricately, obviously, you know, but as I was looking up, when did this ability to claim not mentally, you know the words, but basically not
criminal responsibility.
Not like a criminal responsibility, especially in Massachusetts. The product test of it was in 54. The penal code is instituted in 62. And so it's been around since the 1800s when it was instituted as law, you know, started in England and everything. But it's evolved over time as our knowledge of what goes on in the brains over time. Because even, again, I'll just tout the Gacy files, you know, and Buried by You, just listening to the prosecution's closing and their lack of awareness of the mental health then, even compared to now, from 1980 to now, it's profound what the advancements are. And even, you know, and even if people want to pay attention to what they were calling the Bible, what Mac was calling the Bible, that DSM, it is so far lagging behind, and all the psychs of my team working with it. Again, it's just not what they use when pure diagnoses are going on, because it's incomplete. It's not even compatible with what the world is using. Anyway, I digress.
I'm with you, man. I mean, we're still in the Stone Ages with this shit, and the reality is that we know so little about the human mind. You know, you can't, like I keep saying, I'm like, you can't throw a CAT scan up or imaging of the brain and be like, oh, there's the fucking psychosis. I'm pointing at it. That dark spot right there, that's it. And when we can't see an injury, it becomes very difficult for us to understand it. And the most fucked up thing about this case and all the people who I kind of consider to be mental illness deniers out there and even in our chat and, but it's the most important organ we have. It's what separates us from the fucking beasts. Like, what could be more important than figuring out what the fuck is going on with our minds? Like, what takes precedent over that? If you've lived through a loved one who has had Alzheimer's and watched what that has done to that person, and you still refuse to have a concept of just how powerful our mind is in terms of determining what our quality of life is and how we react to the outside world, then I can't help you. You're living in a fucking fantasy world. You know, it's like to me, that's the most, everybody knows somebody or has a loved one that has gone through Alzheimer's. Think about that. Think about that disease. And it starts to make clear to you, like, wow, yeah, you know, people's entire fucking memories, 80 years wiped away, as if they don't know anything happened in those 80 years, including the people they love the most on the planet. They have no idea who they are.
Yeah. I think that's a scary thing for a lot of people is the possibility that our brains can do that sort of thing. And yeah, it's scary, but it's real. And pretending it doesn't exist doesn't help anybody.
Our stupidity is outpacing our knowledge of our brain.
It does. That's going to wrap up for today. We're going to actually go over to Defense Diaries here in about 20, 25 minutes or so. So go check out Defense Diaries. We're going to go and join Bob on their live over there. I want to leave with one of my favorite lines, I think, that I've seen so far about this case. And it's about... Reddington. He may have a Werther's in his pocket, but I know a gangster when I see one. So many women in love with this man on social media. And
I don't know if you guys, I posted the media swarm around him yesterday. I was just filming the swarm.
Yeah.
I was not. Because I talked to him, like, I'm not...
Yeah, I saw, yeah.
I'm in the middle of trying a case, you know what I mean? Like, no, but I mean, I talked to him in different, like...
Yeah.
Any rate, so, you know, but yesterday, that fucking crowd of media that was just...
Yeah.
Like enveloped him whole.
Yeah.
And he's like... It's funny. If you haven't seen it, it's on my Instagram. Check it out.
Yeah, it's great.
I was saying this before we started. No matter the outcome at this point, you're not going to bring back the kids. The tragedy of that, there's no justice for their loss. The victims are standing with their daughter or daughter-in-law or friends. And the attention that's been put on the mental health crisis for women, especially in postpartum, has been made, and hopefully it'll continue to be made. And either way, she's behind bars, whether it's in a psych ward or not. I mean, so he threw it all on the table, no matter the outcome of this, you know. So it's hard to imagine, no matter the outcome, you can have hindsight and say he could have or should have cared more or could have shown it done better. I mean, I've never seen anyone throw it all out there so hard every single day. So, and it has been an education watching him just doing, watching, you know, like when he was doing his direct and it goes short, you're like, why is that such a short direct? Because he was anticipating the cross, and then he's making his points on the redirect. I'm like, holy shit, that was genius. Yeah. What a human being.
Man, like my highlight for him, my favorite, and he's got a lot of great techniques. Like he does that thing where he's always like, you know, where he says something in the affirmative to a witness. Like, oh, so when did you do that? Oh, so you called... You know, and then it forces the witness to say something that they didn't do that they should have done. And he'll get at them by saying, oh, so when did you call them? Oh, well, I didn't. Oh, okay. You didn't call them. But my favorite thing was when he read the portion of the opening statement from the Commonwealth to, I can't remember if it was Heilbronner, the sake guy. And, you know, he's like, do you think that that's inaccurate? I think it was Sartov or whatever his name was.
Greg Satov, yeah.
Yeah, Satov. Do you think that was an accurate representation of the case that's in front of you? And he's like, I think it's really minimizing what was going on here. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, that was – but I recognize it because I couldn't hear in the courtroom if he – said that this is coming from their opening, because it's way more powerful if he's not telling the witness it's the opening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that was my favorite moment. Out of many, many red moments that I loved. Yeah. I mean, his one-liners and his zings are the best.
It was the most tragic education I've been part of in a very long time.
Oh yeah. Like the whole attorney Sprague thing was fucking classic, man.
Defense Diaries, Bob Mata. Go check it out. Press subscribe, and we're going to go over to his live here. Like I said, in about 25 minutes, we'll be talking. You got to send it to me and Robin, too, so send us there. And we'll be over there till about 1-ish or 1 central, whatever that is for everybody. Robin, this okay. It's your turn. This is the stage. Here we go. Masterclass.
Yeah, so I got my masterclass out. So it's my class on masterclass. It's become the people, become the person that people, that everyone trusts. It's out on masterclass. And so if you follow me, you're into understanding human behavior and actually what inspires people to trust you, this is a class for you. High decision making. So basically everything we do on this show, check it out. It's on masterclass. You can go to my website, check it out. Also, it's in the description here. So thanks, Tony.
Yep. Link is in the description as well for Robin's masterclass, so go check that out. All right, press subscribe. We'll continue our conversation in the comments. Until then, for Bob, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
3.5 hours of deliberations. So we're well past that now. We're what? As of this recording, 10 plus. This is where we're at as we're having this discussion. No verdict yet, but we're going to keep watching. The jury went home for the weekend. 5 options on those slips. First degree, second degree manslaughter, not criminally responsible or not guilty by reason of insanity. We're going to be talking about all that. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, with us along with Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Jen, you've been making a lot of comparisons on the internet, on Twitter over the weekend about some cases. I've gotten into it with you a little bit over the weekend. And I said, all right, we're going to talk about this one Monday. You went and started comparing her to Lori Vallow. Lindsay wasn't in her right mind and hearing voices, so was Lori Vallow. This is what you put out there. Where are all the pink shirts for her? I'm gonna reply, and then I'm gonna let you reply. Okay.
Didn't you already reply on Twitter?
I did, but I thought of this even more because I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Wait until you hear my reply.
For all of us who think Lindsay wasn't, it's not what we think she wasn't in her right mind. That's what the psychiatrist who evaluated her approximately 60 times testified to under oath. That's the medical record. That's what 30 different prescriptions document here. It's really not an opinion. She wasn't, that's established. She wasn't mentally well. So was Lori Vallow. A little different. Lori believed her children were zombies possessed by dark spirits as part of a doomsday religious ideology. She shared with Chad Daybell, this is not psychosis. This is not hearing voices. That's a belief system that she chose and she acted on over the course of months that she used to justify having her brother kill her ex-husband for $1 million life insurance policy that she maintained while she collected her dead children's Social Security benefits. And she held onto while she flew to Hawaii and got married 17 days after her husband's first wife was murdered. Lindsay Clancy went to the emergency room begging doctors to fix what was happening inside her head. Lori thought she was on a mission from God.
And also, Lindsay said I killed my kids, and Lori said I didn't.
They're not the same thing.
Okay, so, first of all,
connect the dots for me where I'm not seeing how she's like Lori Vallow.
Lori's a nutter. I'm with you. Lori's bigger nutter.
That was absolutely a post for you, Tony. Because you remember our conversations where we argued whether Lori was sane or whether she wasn't. And I at that is the most facetious comparison for anybody who knows me and anybody who knew my stance on Lori Vallow. No one would have ever take it anything but facetiously that I was pointing that out. And it was specifically at you because of our conversations about Lori Vallow, where you said, listen, and this is all true, she was declared incompetent to stand trial. Do you remember that? It took months. I thought 9 months or a year for her creature competency. I want to tell you what the doctors who evaluated her, what she has been clinically diagnosed with, delusional disorder, grandiose and precursory type, hyper-religious religiosity, personality disorder with narcissistic features.
Those are cluster B's.
Ideations.
Yeah.
She was actually diagnosed. She is was treated.
But these are nothing that Lindsay Clancy has.
I'm not saying it is, but just like you said, you know, are we going to say somebody's cockadoodle, you know, nuts, lost touch with reality? It doesn't matter whether they touch reality because of those four diagnoses or because of PPP. I never bought any of that then, and I don't buy it now. I don't think Lori Vallow, I think she should be 100% held responsible, and she was by two different cards. And I also think she should.
Okay, so you're saying there's not a comparison. You're saying it was facetious that there's a comparison.
100%.
I'm confused because you did a lot of comparisons. It seemed like one after another all weekend. Like how about this one? How about Earhart? Kaylee Earhart. Is it a copycat? No. Earhart's husband reported her threats to kill herself and her children to mental health services before the timeline even worked. CPS was notified. The threats predate the trial. Mothers killing their children is evil. Yes, nobody's arguing that mothers killing their children is not evil. I understand postpartum depression affects many. And mothers will need help. Her defense is not postpartum depression. It's postpartum psychosis. Depression is sadness. Psychosis is a break from reality. Hallucinations, delusions, a brain that no longer knows what's real. I mean, you know the difference. I mean, it's not a great comparison. So you've made a lot of comparisons over the weekend, and I had to start going, okay, let's start looking at all of these. And I mean, other than the fact that children died and there's a very unhealthy brain in all of these, that's kind of where most of these end. It's like, yes, there's a psychological component and there's dead kids. But in terms of like the modality behind them, none of them are really that comparable. There's just not a lot of cases that are that comparable to this. There just really isn't that are well known publicly, I guess we could say.
Well, like I said, Tony, I would just argue, first of all, it was totally facetious. And I think most people caught that, not everybody, but most people caught that if they follow me and because they know how I felt about Lori Vallow. Mm-hmm. So that one was just saying, hey, for all of you trying to say this is a wackadoodle at the time, what about Lori Vallow? She actually has all this. So it's a terrible argument for both is my point.
Do you believe
the other one that you named,
Kaylee,
the gal, Earhart, the copycat. First of all, the other handle, her case was well before Earhart's. I know it, not the criminal trial. I'm just saying her case and it being in the news and all of us knew about that. Lindsay Clancy.
Publicity.
It was huge. And
yes, the level of publicity. But the elements of the case aren't very similar.
She's going to use, I promise you, watch. We'll sit back and watch. Everybody record this. She's going to say she had PPP. It's coming out of the woodwork. People are going to use it as an excuse. I think you know that. We all know that.
Are people going to use this as an excuse, or are we just going to start recognizing it more when maybe we haven't in the past? You know, we used to think people are possessed and we'd leech them and all sorts of shit. And then we've moved on going, oh, maybe there are some actual therapeutic things we can do to help people with whatever we think is wrong with them. We're actually not that far removed from leeching in terms of history. So, I mean, I wonder. I mean, yes, you know, could it be used more? Maybe. Yeah. I'm not going to say I know for sure or yes or no, but maybe this is something that, you know, it's recognized as 1 in 1,000 right now. I do wonder, is that extremely accurate? Is it, are we just going to be able to recognize more of this in ways that we clearly haven't? Because clearly they didn't even like recognize the bare minimum with Lindsay.
Hard to recognize when you don't tell your provider you want to harm your kids. Hard to recognize when you're not truthful about really how you're feeling. hard to recognize when you don't mention anything about voices. Until
hard to recognize when you don't ask the right questions of your patient.
You know what? So if my patient lies, what am I going to do? I'm a tactical medic. Many of
asking,
you this.
Asking the questions first.
When I go and evaluate somebody and try to figure out the two things I'm figuring out, right? Is this trauma or is this a medical situation? I'm asking, if they lie to me, what am I going to do other than evaluate the signs and symptoms I see?
So, here's the good thing. So here, let's go back to the question, because I'm curious about Jen, about your viewpoint on our justice system, you know, because we have, you know, that you can claim not criminal responsible or not guilty by reason of insanity. We've had in our criminal justice system, it's been adjusted because the Constitution and our justice system is a self-correcting document. They tightened it up in 84 because of the Hinckley case, apparently, when I researched that. But according to, I'm having a hard time understanding, do you believe that we should not have the possibility of not be guilty by reason of insanity? Because people get afraid that, well, this is going to open the floodgates. Well, it hasn't in the past. I mean, so Andrea Yates, I mean, this is the first one of major notoriety since Andrea Yates. And we're seeing how tightly it's controlled. We're seeing how we're arguing of it. I mean, there hasn't been a fear. In other words, there's been no floodgates that have ever been opened from cases before. And I don't know if everyone likes to use that as an excuse not to do it this time. But the bar is so high to even be able to claim. I mean, so here's an example. You know, Nick Reiner, his attorney is battling to try to see if he can claim not guilty by reason of insanity. And this looked like probably not. You know, he's not going to reach that bar. So, I mean, the bar for this is so high. But do you think we should even have it as one of the claims or one of the defenses they can use or no?
I do believe that it should be allowed for certain in mitigation. So, in other words, like Idaho is a perfect example where there is no reason of insanity, but it can be used. Those factors can be used in terms of sentencing to mitigate somebody's actions. I like that the best. So it's not that I don't think that cannot be considered. This is the problem. No one ever, let's be honest, no doctor, remember Resnick failed in his first trial of Lindsay. They didn't buy his story.
Andrea, you're right.
I mean, did I say Lindsay? Sorry. Andrea Yates. Yep. She was convicted. And then in the second trial, you have new people, you have a new presentation, whatever. Resnick, and then this time, you know, he did that analogy, which was critical, I think, what he did to basically blame it on religion. But no, I very much believe in mental health issues and mental health treatment and getting help. I know people might be shocked at this. I really do want Lindsay Clancy to receive help. And guess what? This is what I looked up over the weekend, was you wouldn't believe how great Massachusetts penal system, how great their prisons are at allowing and giving health care to their inmates, mental health care, psychiatrists and psychologists. And it's one of the best. And lock her up. This is what I don't want her to have any chance whatsoever of ever getting out and tricking, because the only person that really knows whether she was or wasn't in her right mind, the only person is Lindsay Clancy. That's it. None of these, you know, psychiatrists know.
Yeah.
We can look at the facts, but we don't know.
And then they one person knows.
And so how about this? Let's get rid of every single argument we have ahead of the outcome, because the outcome that you're seeking is actually pretty congruent with what we're all thinking, what many people are thinking. No one's saying we want her out. And everyone's saying we want her to get mental health treatment because she's got a broken brain. And I think that's where there's a lot of congruence, because that's what, I mean, I know Todd thinks that. Tony and I have talked about that. I think that. I mean, I'm not looking for her to be free. And that's why I think everyone keeps getting so wrapped up on the fear of her getting out, which isn't part of my calculation on this. It's us wanting to learn from it and the fear of this repeating again, which I think is why I want the outcome I'm looking for, is because I don't want this to happen again. And so that's, I think that's where we're all kind of more closer aligned than you would think, because it's the what and the how is you get to the why, and the why is we just want this to happen to her and also for people from this point forward. But let me get a little more clarification, if you could, Jen. Are you saying on the mental health issue, you'd only like to see it in mitigation of the sentencing for anyone, or do you actually still believe in it can be used as a defense?
Well, it's almost used as a defense no place, because typically the people, typically the people have to show that they didn't understand right from wrong.
Right.
And they always screw up and try to hide it and, you know, do what she did, get the guy out of the house. They always leave all these little breadcrumbs so you could tell they absolutely knew right from wrong. That's why it's a high bar. So no, I do not want it to be used except for in mitigation on sentencing. As far as what you were discussing with these, with Clancy, I think she knew exactly what she was doing. So I want to be clear that I'm not at all crawfishing on that. I think she planned it, premeditated it, and did it in her right mind, not in some sort of mental fog that she couldn't control her actions. So I want to make that clear.
To get rid of her kids.
But I don't think that she's a healthy mind.
For what end? What do you think her, according to you, what do you think her end goal, like what was her intent to get rid of her kids? Where did she's, what was next?
Oh my gosh, it was too much. She was absolutely overwhelmed with the thought of now I've got to go back to nursing school and now I've got these kids to take care of and I'm not meeting up to, you know, what I want and how I want this to be and how I want everything to play out. And they're just too much. I got Dawson. He's a hot mess. I, you know, just went through this whole trying to get Callan to sleep through the night. And I had to stop nursing and I don't want to be judged on all of this. And I think she just, that was it. It just.
You think she wanted to get rid of him so she could free up time?
Time, not time, control. She had totally lost control of how her trajectory of things. And she talks about that. She blames it on Dawson and Cora. Dawson and Cora aren't allowing me to be the mother I could be to Callan.
So if she planned that out.
See the resentment.
So if you say she planned it out, what was her plan? I mean, so the plan is to kill him and then what?
The plan was to kill him, which she did exactly
and
what she
go back
she
to her regular life? That's what you think her plan was?
Planned it. Oh, no, no, no. I think it was critical, and she well knew she needed to have a convincing argument that she tried to take her own life. But she made too many mistakes. That's what people do. So the plan
was to kill him, fake her suicide.
Well, she did kill them, and that was her plan. So, yes.
And that she's going to fake her S and then get away with it. That's your plan was.
100%. She cut her veins in the wrong way. She superficially cut. She did not use the knife that most individuals who do this, and I mean, literally, I cannot find another case where you use a 6.5 butcher knife. You use a paring knife or something small you can control. I bet you that thing was dull. We'll see what the jury comes
back. Shows a lack of planning, doesn't it?
No, you know what it shows is these different ways. No, she planned all this, sure.
Except
I'll do a couple cuts here. I'm going to do it in front of the mirror.
Sounds pretty psychotic, like someone in a state of psychosis to me.
What you're forgetting, she looked up, even though she's a nurse, you're forgetting she Googled, where is the carotid? Now, you might argue, and a lot of people argue, see, this is why it's
okay,
everyone. She stood in front of the mirror. A carotid artery is difficult. Even as a tactical medic, I can tell you, yes, it's right here. But then where else can I cut? Like, at this point, is it going to deviate a little this way, a little this way? So she makes a couple of little cuts, lowers herself. There's blood on the sill. There's blood on the shingles. She lands on her back. There's absolutely no contusions, bruises, nothing on her head.
How come no one testified to that?
They did.
No, they didn't.
Oh, yes,
it was all debunked. It was all debunked.
No, no. Please go look at
the prosecution. The prosecution at the closing even gave up on the crawling down the side of the building. The prosecution didn't even include in their closing.
Oh, on that, I'm talking about the head. the bruises that were. Oh, not, yeah.
But the whole theory of her crawling out the window to fake it, that the prosecution didn't even.
There was a bullshit theory by a police officer that was debunked.
Right. Well, you can call it debunked. Was there blood there?
Well, it wasn't ever a thing. Well, it was like somebody's just like spouting off their opinion. It wasn't like studied or anything. It was like, they looked at it and they're like, nope, it wasn't that.
Every single medical expert in there said this was a serious, both sides said this was a serious S attempt, a very serious S attempt, not a crawling down the side of the house thing.
I don't think she went head first. That's a serious S attempt when you dive into the ground.
They all said that she did.
So the experts that do this for a living that said they did, they're wrong?
All I'm saying is I
look at facts, and I was listening. I remember listening, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, okay.
So they all missed it, and you got it right.
She landed on her back. Where was her where? And then when they said she didn't have any contusions, bruises, nothing on her head.
Explain how that works. I mean, if you don't know how that works and you understand the dynamics and the force and all that shit that I don't know much about.
So you
but then you hear the expert's testimony. You learn that well, you really can have this happen without contusions here and there.
She didn't explain that. All she said was, "Yeah, that's what happened." I was waiting for her to say it.
Well, you can look it up yourself. I mean, that's how I understood it. I looked it up. I'm like, well, how can this happen? Because I was weird. I'm like, why isn't there any of that? And then you look it up. Oh, okay. This is typically actually how that happens when somebody makes a landing of that nature and then what it actually looks like. Okay.
Jefferson fracture also could have occurred when she landed as she was found on her back. How do you dive head first? And then you don't hit your head, and then you're on your back.
So, wouldn't the prosecution have brought that up, Jen, and not you? I mean, seriously. I love that we're trying to focus on the facts of what was presented in the testimony. No one testified to what you're saying for the prosecution.
The defense brought it up, and the defense, I think, was eviscerated on cross. Because that doctor stuck to her guns without the physical support. And all she would say was, yes, yes. So please go back and review that. I will too.
Okay. But
specifically, it was asked, and wait a minute, doctor, did she have any bruises? Did she have any contusions? Anything on her head? No. Did she land on her back? Yes. Oh, well, why? And you say she dove head first? Yes. Give me something more. And I also say, don't forget that Lindsay Clancy was an acrobat.
You're comparing her acrobatic abilities at the age of 13.
No, don't. Have you seen these girls? They are the best athletes.
She's in her 30s. Can you do what you did at like 18 when you were in your 30s? Maybe you could. I don't know. A lot of people can't.
I mean, I can't do it as well.
So
I'm on my trampoline.
Because she was
around. There's also incongruence. So she's every single medical professional there, both sides said she's got severe S-itization, that she's severe, you know. And so what you're claiming then too is that even though she had severe S-itization and she's still on S-watch right now, longest that the clinicians have seen for 3 years while she's, you know, in custody, and then all of a sudden she's going to fake it? Okay. There's incongruence between that.
This is what's incongruent to me. Voices, whatever we want to say, her loss with reality, kill your kids. Oh, she did a great job with that. Now, I need you to take your life. Oh, fail.
I've heard so many prosecutors say that. Yeah, you're great at killing others, but not at killing yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because you know why? She thought, oh, ouch, it hurt. And that's when she snapped into reality. How about when Corin Dossa were screaming for her life, their life, over the 3.5 minutes it would have taken?
Unfortunately, we don't have our own control over our own psychosis. That's what makes it psychosis.
My bet is if she did a better job of doing that to her throat and wrist, she wouldn't have jumped out of the window.
And she didn't because it hurt. She didn't really want to hurt herself. Ouch. Ouch. It wasn't more important to her to take her life. The ouchie hurt. And by the way, again, the wrong direction. She's a nurse. She knows how to cut those veins.
Maybe. They don't teach you how to kill yourself in medical school.
They don't?
I'm a tactical medic, and she had way more training and education than me.
I'll tell you what.
It's very simple to know how to do that.
Listen to my daughter learning, had to go to extra school to learn how to do stitches and close up a cesarean section is you know, kind of gives you an education on, you know, what they actually do learn and don't learn coming out of that, going to the labor and delivery.
Yeah, I just truly believe she didn't try. Now, do I think there was a huge error in her judgment? And she never thought she would be paralyzed. That's why the timing was important. Patrick's got to come home. He's got to save me.
So she logically, so you're telling me she was thinking logically that if I kill the kids, I attempt to kill myself, but I survive, I will be found not guilty, and we can just continue on with our lives, or I can continue on my life however I want to.
And I think it's very possible she's going to be found not guilty now.
But I'm going back to what was the mindset? Yes. What was she thinking at
100%.
That
moment? 100%. She's calculating.
What do you guys think? Tell us in the comment section on Substack, and YouTube links are in the description. We'll continue the conversation right there. Jennifer Coffin, Daffer, Break the Case. Get it wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent. Give us your pitch for Masterclass.
Yes. I have my new class on Masterclass. It's Become the Person Everyone Trusts. It was a great segue for today. You can go anywhere you get Masterclass, and you get other 200 other classes on there. So check it out. Thanks.
Links in the description as well. Go and check that out. Press subscribe. Until next time, for Jennifer, for Robin, and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull that's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're gonna need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's, but the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. Made with Red Bull that's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're gonna need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the strawberry watermelon refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull. It's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're gonna need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, this is Kevin.
This is Joe.
And Nick Jonas from Hey Jonas. This episode of Hey Jonas is brought to you by the all-new drink lineup at McDonald's.
I don't have to tell you that there are already so many great drink options at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. But the new drink lineup, I mean, it takes things to another level.
They've got delicious caffeinated refreshers like the Strawberry Watermelon Refresher, crafted sodas like the Sprite Berry Blast, and now the all-new Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer.
We're talking about a total game changer. It's made with Red Bull that's mixed with blue raspberry flavor and topped with freeze-dried dragon fruit.
Wow.
McDonald's has given us a refreshing new boost for your day.
And the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer is arriving just as you're heading back to the dorms for the fall semester. It's got a boost of energy and a kick of flavor when you need it the most. You know, powering through those lectures and studying sessions, you're going to need it. Kicking the afternoon slump or rallying for the weekend.
Try one of the many new drinks like the Red Bull Dragonberry Energizer, also available with Red Bull Zero, now at McDonald's.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.